Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hour number two of Gwen and Chris is underway. I am Matt Scravey filling in for Gwen and Chris. They will be back on Monday. And the my next guest for my next trick, I bring in Kirk Kenny of the San Diego Union Tribune. He's in studio with me right now. I appreciate Jake Gariani coming in from CBS 8. And Kirk, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. The rain isn't here yet, so the knuckleheads on the highway have not started going crazy yet.
I actually was telling Tony about this yesterday, but you know those people that go from the fast lane to like the exit because they're the only ones on the road? Yesterday, I was driving into work and someone, and this is before the rain, so the knuckleheads are already out, but this guy went from the far left lane all the way over to the bypass and hit a car while he was going because he just didn't look. And so I saw this all go down. Everybody's fine, but the roads are scaring me more than ever. They're getting worse, Kirk. Can you confirm this for me?
I think you're probably right. I don't know what the answer is, because other than just staying in your house and in a bubble.
I can do that, too. I can do that, too. You know, I love social distancing. I was a huge social distancing fan. The COVID stay-at-home thing, I was good with that. I love staying at home.
All right.
I mean, you do travel all over the country, though, so you wouldn't be able to stay at home because you go to all these different Aztecs games. You did not go to the Hawaii game. You're driving everywhere.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Kirk. We have an Aztecs team, football team, that started the year with some question marks. How are they going to go this year? Are they going to win any games? Or are they going to win three games? To a team that was really good. And then they go to Hawaii and they get beat big by Hawaii, kind of ending the dream of a college football playoff. Do you think that was them maybe playing, maybe reading their press clippings a little bit about how good of a team they are? What was the reason for that loss? And the loss was shocking.
I don't think it's so much that they were kind of getting full of themselves. I think it's more that, you know, look over a whole season. There were several games on Saturday that there were upsets in the top 25, et cetera. And I think, you know, no one's going to go undefeated by and large. And,
yeah.
And even most teams aren't going to, you know, have more than, you know, a handful of games where they really dominate. And they're going to have games where they, you know, you wouldn't have thought that result's going to happen, but that's what happens. And I think that was the situation last week at Hawaii. I think it was compounded by all the rain that they had in that game. I don't know that the Aztecs were as prepared as they could have been for that. And then they just, you know, didn't play well in the first half. The defense did pretty well in the second half, but that was obscured by the final result.
Yeah. Well, we talked to Trey White last week, and he was very impressive. And the defense seemingly, I mean, that's what the Aztecs are known for, running backs and defense. Maybe not so much for running backs anymore, although Lucky Sutton is having a good year. But the defense is, when that defense is not playing well, I don't know that the Aztecs offense can keep up.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The offense has been very much hit and miss. And I think I wrote today that, you know, they had a couple games where they only got two field goals, another one where they only had one offensive touchdown. So the defense has very much been the high point of the season. And, you know, they're just going to have to figure some more of that out and see if they can find some offensive consistency somewhere.
They're going to have to find some offensive consistency. But Jaden Denegal's been, I think, better than people thought he was going to be this year. I don't know really what anybody expected, because when you hear, oh, a Michigan quarterback is coming to San Diego State, I got a lot of responses of, oh, he didn't even play. But he still was good enough for Michigan. So is this a guy that we could be happy about and cheer for going forward, or is he going to leave us?
Oh, I definitely think he'll be back next year, and I think he's been a good quarterback. I think he is a little bit dinged up, and I think that's prevented him from being as good as he could be. I saw one game, I think it was Colorado State. He made three first-half throws that were just tremendous. So you see it's in there, and you would hope that a guy progresses each game, that he gets another start, but I think some of the injuries he's had to deal with over the season are impacting his play.
Yeah, I can't remember which game it was, but he went down with a stinger, I believe, or something with his arm, his mm-hmm. non-throwing arm. But like, he seems like a tough dude. He seems like a guy that people want to play with and for. Sean Lewis, I think, has done a really good job of turning this team around this year because no one expected much. What do you think about Sean? Because we talked to some of the coordinators over the past couple weeks, and we kind of talk about Sean Lewis, and they all tell us how great of a leader he is and a communicator. I always get a little nervous that guys are going to leave after a good season. What's the likelihood that Sean Lewis is going to be poached by another team, you think?
At this point in time, I don't think that'll happen. Not that there aren't teams that might be interested in him, especially after putting together a good season this year so far. But at this point, most of the jobs that are open are Power Four jobs, and I don't know that they're going to go for someone who's an up-and-comer from the group of five, as opposed to looking for someone who has already Power Four experience. A couple of those programs, they have to get like a very high-profile name to fill. So that's why I think he maybe sticks around.
All right. Well, I do love that Sean Lewis is going to stick around. I think Sean Lewis is a good coach. I think Sean Lewis can, with time, can figure this out. He's already figured it out in one offseason. So I hope he stays with the team. But Boise State coming into town. As you said, this is a very important game. What are they? I mean, they're 3-point favorites, the Aztecs are, at home. What are some of the things we're looking for this weekend?
Well, as we mentioned, I think they need to find some offensive consistency and start to click more there. One of their wide receivers is out, Jacob Bostic, and so that's put more pressure on Jordan Napier to perform and or allow defenses to focus more on Jordan and maybe take him out of the game a little bit. So I'm interested to see how much he's able to perform this week. I think with the weather coming up, both sides, I think, are going to kind of lean toward the running the ball, keep it on the ground, try and hold on to it. So I think that'll be an impact. Defensively, we need to see how the Aztecs rebound after last week's performance. When they lost their other game this year, it was 36-13 at Washington State, and they bounced back with a 34-0 win over Cal. So
good point.
There's every belief, I think, on the field for those guys that they're going to rebound. Boise State starting its backup quarterback, Max Cutforth, because their starter's out with a foot injury. So that'll be interesting to see how that works. But again, I think Boise State's going to have a game plan that favors the run to take some of the load off that quarterback.
Do they have an Ashton Gentry-like guy, the Boise State?
No, they don't. But they do have three guys who have been very good, and those three running backs together have averaged close to 184 yards a game, which has been very substantial.
That is substantial. We're talking to Kirk Kenny here, San Diego Union Tribune. He'll be in with for the next hour, and at the end of the hour, Kirk texted me a countdown topic that is very Kirk, and it is top five child actors. And so we're going to have a lot of different names on this list. I went through a lot of research last night trying to find the child actors of my generation. So you already guessed
the last
on
10 years
text message. Yes, the last 10 years is my child actor career. But we'll do that at 3:40. We're going to get to the Padres in the next segment, because I want to get some of your thoughts, being a guy who's been here a long time here in town and seeing all the different sports stuff. You have thoughts about that, so we'll get to that. But the San Diego State football team, is there... With the whole thing with the attendance issue, mm-hmm. is I'm trying to phrase this in a way where it's not like the attendance is terrible, but it is terrible. And the Wyoming coach comes and says that thing about how everybody came dressed as empty seats, which I think is a very good line, but it's also very hurtful. They are doing some things to try to get people into the stadium this week. The supervisor, Jim Desmond, came out and said that they need to lower the ticket prices. It's not as simple as just lowering the ticket prices, But at what point do you think San Diego State looks at this and says, all right, we have to back down a little bit and give these people lower prices?
That's what I think they should do, but they've seemingly been either stubborn or just resistant to doing that. Part of it, I mean, they're in a difficult spot because they've charged so much to the season ticket holders. And, you know, I don't think if you lowered ticket prices in half, I don't think that would double season ticket sales.
So if you agree with that.
Yeah. If you keep that in mind, then they technically would lose money if they followed that. I think one thing they could do is maybe move in and add seats at lower price points.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that way it would allow, because so in the last 2 weeks, they've been doing this two for $40 deal. And I think they've moved close to 5,000 tickets that way.
See that? I know that there's numbers that prove that their tickets are probably priced appropriately for what they are thinking, but people love discounts. Mm-hmm. Like they love discounts. When you see a 2 for $40 sale, I don't even care if the tickets actually are $40. I'll still buy the 2 for $40 because it sounds like a good price. And there's just, this is the feedback I've been getting from people, and it's, I just can't afford $115 for a nosebleed seat in that stadium. And we asked Ryan Lindley about it the other day when he was on the show, and he said, I asked him, do you talk to your team about that? Do you address that? And he said, yeah, we do, because it would be kind of like an elephant in the room, but we just kind of use it as motivation. Chris has said this many times, but it would be nice for people to go support this team because the student athletes are doing a really good job.
Yeah, I've heard some people say the Aztec fans are with you win or win. So
wait, what?
Aztec fans are with you win or win.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, a lot of people are like that, Kirk,
well,
these days.
San Diego has always been a fickle town, I think, as far as their support for professional and college sports. You know, we see other places across the country that they're so passionate, they'll pay whatever, they'll go in any kinds of weather. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to see probably weather this weekend, and I wonder how many people are just looking at the forecast will say, no, I'm not coming.
That's a good point. I mean, we don't like weather here. I would go to the game. I think it's kind of fun. I've played golf in the rain before,
yeah.
Type of thing. It's just something that happens, but you're probably right. If it's going to be, snowing, that's not the right precipitation. If it's going to be raining tomorrow night, I think people will stay away, and that's unfortunate. That is unfortunate. We're here with Kirk Kenny of the San Diego Union Tribune. I'm Scraby, filling in for Gwen and Chris. When we get back, we'll get back into the Padres. We'll get Kirk's thoughts on the Seidler family exploring a sale of the team. And we'll ask him whether or not he thinks Craig Stammen is the right guy for the job. So all that ahead here on 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This holiday season, too many San Diegans will go hungry. Join 97.3 The Fan and support the San Diego Food Bank. Donate food directly online through our Odyssey San Diego Food Fund, where every donation helps feed local families. Go to 973thefansd.com/foodfund and give today. I'm Matt Scraby, filling in for Gwen and Chris. Got Kirk Kenny from the San Diego Union Tribune here with us in studio until 4 p.m. Got Adam Klug on the ones and twos, as Tony will say. But Adam just told us some very interesting information. And in a nutshell, we'll get into this a little bit later, but starting in 2029, Disney has the rights for the NCAA men's and women's NCAA tournament. And they're going to be broadcasted on Disney properties. So I have no idea how much that costs them. But I feel really bad for Ian Eagle. He just took over for Jim Nance, and now it's not going to be on CBS anymore starting 2029.
Well,
maybe. Does this bother you in any sort of way?
I just turn on the TV and see what channel it's on. So well, I'm not as into that as some people.
Adam, does this mean True TV is not going to get their yearly bump from the NCAA tournament?
That's correct.
Wow. What is True TV going to do? I mean, honestly, they play...
We all search and try and find out what channel True TV is on.
Every year. Irrational Jokers or something? They're always
Impractical
on...
Jokers.
Impractical Jokers. They're always
they're
on...
They're irrational, too.
They are irrational, but they're always on True TV. It's either... Impractical Jokers or the NCAA tournament. We'll get into that a little bit later because that's kind of interesting. And in the mix of YouTube TV and ESPN feuding right now. So
yeah, how exclusive will that be to ABC? And does that mean, okay, ESPN platforms and ABC, or where they'll still have something farmed off to some of the other channels?
I'm going to do some research for that, and I'm going to bring that back for...
Well, one thing I think that's interesting about this report is that it says that the games, like, Turner's always had four channels. They've had TBS, TNT, True TV, and whatever the other ones. There's four games on at a time. This release says broadcast across ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPN Plus. So that's like three traditional linear channels and a streaming channel. Ugh. So now, in terms of channel surfing and going back and forth between games, that might be difficult with the ESPN Plus element.
I'm over that whole thing. I'm over the ESPN app. I'm over having to buy 700 different apps to watch. I get that they want to push their app, but I don't want to have to log into an app just to watch one game. I want it to be right there in front of me.
I guess CBS is the fourth channel I was missing. TBS, this is TNT, a big one. CBS, yeah. And True TV.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting how long it's taking for streaming to take hold. I mean, what's the age cutoff now where people are like, I have no idea how to do that?
Chris's age. Like 75, I think. No, I think it's like, you know, if I take my dad, for example, and sorry, Dad, I'm going to throw out your technical prowess. He could do the Prime thing. He could do the app thing. I never get that played on me. He could do all that, but he really hates, and I think everybody else hates, that you can't switch between channels when they go to commercial break. And it's smart on their part because they're forcing you to watch the commercials. But I think it's losing a lot of people, too.
Well, it's interesting to me that as we advance technologically, that it's more complicated.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's more of a sign-in process. There's more finding it now. And they're just making it so confusing. I just want it to all be one standard thing.
What I find to be interesting is that we used to have every channel in one place, right?
Yeah.
Then they all broke apart. And we're streaming on all these different platforms. And now a couple of these platforms are joining together to join forces. Like, ooh, let's put everything back together. We shall call it cable.
Yeah,
like, that's where we were.
Yeah,
like, why'd we leave that place?
Yeah, because everybody thought, hey, people want to pay for 10 different streaming apps. This is what they want. We have to have our own app. And then Paramount's got a bunch of stuff going on with it. It's hard to follow, but... Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that later. The Padres. Now, when I went to break, I said, is he the right guy for the job? And the answer is, we're not sure if he's the right guy for the job. So I don't want to, make light of it because he is the manager of the team. And for me, I'm moving forward with him being the manager of the team. We'll get to the sale in just a second. But what did you think about Craig Stammen becoming the manager?
I thought it was a little bit out of left field. I mean, obviously, he doesn't have the experience of most of the guys you would bring. But then again, some of the other guys they were taking a look at didn't have any on-the-field experience either from a managerial standpoint. It's interesting to me how many people just immediately give a thumbs down to something. It's like, let it play out. I thought when they hired Bob Melvin, that was a really, really good hire, and it lasted 2 years.
Yeah.
Now, was some of that because of friction with the front office? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, this is another way of trying things, and maybe it works out really well.
And as Jake and I were talking about in the first hour, like, this is how teams are doing it now. They're going with the guy who has very little experience, and they're going with a guy who's going to work well at the front office. I personally think that Craig Stammen's going to give everything he has to this job. But it's yet to be seen if he's going to be successful. But I'm going to give him that, leeway to try to figure out the job before I'm going to say he's a bad manager. And you're right. You say this all the time. People have very quick, they're very quick to turn things down when they don't like it.
Yeah, I think our society has become very snap judgment.
It is snap judgment.
One thing, though, is I've heard people talk about a potential lockout for 2027, and maybe this was just a way of, and you know, the team's up for sale, so maybe this was just a way of putting a guy in there for now, and some other decisions might be made a year or two down the road.
Yeah, well, that is looming, and it is. I saw that Rob Manfred had preliminary talks with the MLBPA, and I don't really know how far those preliminary talks went. Probably not too far, but I have a feeling that when they get there, it's going to be a battle. And we did this, what, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, and it was a battle. And there's going to be a lot of new things that are going to be talked about, like the owners wanting a salary cap, the whole sports betting thing, the TV deals that they have, the deferred money that is being spent out there. I don't know if they're going to do anything about that, but there's a lot to be worried about with the impending lockout. But the team, you said it, they're going up for sale or exploring a sale. What are your thoughts on this? Jake and I said in the, you know, the first hour that this could be a really good thing for the team and for the fans.
Yeah, I think there's been a very good ownership group, but obviously things have changed over the last couple of years, and you know, I think exploring a sale, there's nothing wrong with that, and obviously Padre fans would hope whatever new ownership group comes in is still willing to spend and looking as much in the best interest of the team on the field and success there as they are at padding their pocketbook.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like a no-brainer. If I had $2 billion, I would be buying the Padres because I could put a little bit of money into it. You know, if there's someone like a Stan Kroenke or a Joe Lacob, who Lacob, is it Lacob, Adam? It's Lacob. They have a lot of money. They could get that one extra free agent if they open up their pocketbook. And those guys also have already some experience in backing a team that wins. You know, the Warriors have won a ton. The Rams won a Super Bowl, and they're pretty good. So Stan Kroenke is not a stranger to owning professional sports franchises. I just don't know if he's going to be the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when you're at that level of wealth, it's more about legacy than, you know, you can only have so many cars and houses and
true
and things. And, you know, I always reflect on Ray Kroc saved baseball for this town in 1974, and he's been gone for 40 years, and yet he's still very much revered,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the guy who owns the Chargers and moved them out of here. It's like, I don't know what the upside was. I'm sure they made a little extra money on the franchise, but he's going to be forever hated here. Mm-hmm. It's like Art Modell in Baltimore moving the team out of there. Yeah. That guy's forever hated for the rest of eternity. And yet, you know, what did he really accomplish by doing that?
Nothing. And now they're trying to, the Chargers at least, they're trying to, you know, make uniforms that look like San Diego Charger uniforms. They're trying to get back in the good graces of Chargers fans that are here. And it's not that easy. It's not that easy because Dean Spanos, you know, wasn't completely his fault. And the team's
fault. No, I think
fault.
It was.
You think it was?
I will forever blame him.
Okay. I wasn't, you know, as heavily involved in all of that stuff. I was just getting into sports radio when all that stuff was happening. But I remember, who was the guy who was their spokesperson that used to be with the White House? I can't remember his name right now. But he kept saying things that were very politically, like, misleading, but it was just so ugly. It was so ugly on both sides.
Well, he was going to spout the Chargers party line, and well, like when we
is it Aguirre?
No. He's okay. A local guy. I'm Mark Garagos. No, it's not him. Was it?
No. We'll figure it out. Anyway, it was a long time ago
when the Chargers had the vote downtown for a stadium. I think that was kind of half-hearted. I look at how the Padres in '98. They were all over the place to try and get the vote for the downtown stadium. And the Chargers, I thought it seemed kind of half-hearted. And I was not surprised at all when they moved after that. I think that was just a way of saying, hey, at least we tried to keep it here. But
back to the Padres and exploring a sale. The Padres, they have a very attractive franchise. They have guys mm-hmm. in place. They have a fan base that will spend money and will show up to games and will buy merchandise. So I don't think this is as terrible as some people may have thought, because there is someone out there, I would think, with money that sees this as a money-making opportunity, and they will do what they can to make money. Once someone buys a team, most of the time they really, really want to make money. And so if you're getting into the baseball game like Stan Kroenke would do, or Joe Lacob, I keep forgetting his last name, then things can be better than what they are now, which is hard to imagine because we haven't had that before.
I think the biggest thing for the fans is this is getting into unknowns. They know what they've had, and they've enjoyed that. And the fear of the unknown is maybe this goes a good positive direction and maybe it doesn't. So I think that's maybe the reason for their anxiety.
Yeah, there's tons of anxiety out there. I understand it. I do. I'm going to talk more about it at 5 o'clock, but there's been a lot that has come down with the Padres here since the offseason has begun. In like 40 something days, there's been three major news announcements that some teams don't even get in an entire offseason. So the next step for all of us, I mean, is just to wait and see what happens. And I think it's going to be a slow process, but I do trust John Seidler when he says that he's going to find someone that is going to run this team with Peter's vision in mind, because I think that's very important to keep alive. And so I don't think that John Seidler is lying about that at all. I think that he will try to find someone that is going to be a good owner and someone who's not just going to ruin all of the last 6 years.
Yeah, I would take him at his word and believe that he is trying to follow in Peter's footsteps and in his thoughts and do things the right way.
And hey, if, you know, I don't want someone in there who's maybe not fully 100%, but like, not that they're not behind the Padres, but maybe it's not their number one thing. And that's totally fine. And I'd rather have someone in here that's going to focus 24 hours a day on the Padres if they're the owner of the team. That's what I want. I want someone like even though Steve Cohen kind of annoys me sometimes when he tweets and stuff, he does care about his team. He may spend his money in a bad way, but he does do what he can to allow them to win.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just getting an ownership group that has deeper pockets or deep enough pockets to not be nickel and diming and being afraid of how to keep this team competitive and in the upper part of the payrolls.
Yeah, because they got a lot of guys that are under contract for a very long time, and they need to take advantage of that right now. That's the time is now, Kirk. All right, this is Matt Scraby filling in for Gwynn and Chris here on 97.3 The Fan, joined by Kirk Kenny of the San Diego Union-Tribune, Adam Klug in studio as well. We're going to have a Klug versus the Fans at 4 p.m., so stick around for that. But Kirk is sticking around because we're going to do the countdown, which is our top five child actors. You all think of yours out there because everybody has them. That's next on 97.3 The Fan. Tower of Sports Talk is brought to you by SD Collectibles. Get ready, sports and Pokemon collectors. SD Collectible Card Show is back at Liberty Station with over 100 vendor tables November 22nd and 23rd. Find sports cards, Pokemon, memorabilia, and more. Visit SDCollectibles.com for more info. That is SDCollectibles.com. Matt Scraby filling in for Gwynn and Chris. They'll be back Monday. Kirk Kenny from the San Diego Union Tribune in with me right now. We're going to play Klug versus the Fans at 4 p.m. But right now is the countdown, and it's going to be the top five child actors. So we'll get into that right after traffic.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
We have so many suggestions already in the chat, Kirk, about who should be on the list of top five child actors. And one of them that we already talked about over text, Shirley Temple, is being offered up here in the chat. So we'll see if she's on your list. You know what? I actually don't want to get into it because I have no idea who's on Kirk's list. So we're going to get started with number five. And Kirk, you're going to go first. Oops, sorry.
All right. Actually, I just did a last second change on this because my wife provided some input, and
okay,
I guess I have to consider that or I'm going to hear about it later.
Okay.
So for number five, I went with Haley Joel Osment.
Ah, yes.
Sixth Sense, he was tremendous.
Yes.
And also, I don't know if you noticed, he was the child in Forrest Gump, too.
I do remember that, yeah. Yeah, he was obviously in a lesser role, but he was in Forrest Gump. I thought in... I'll comment on him in a second. Anything more to say about him?
Just, you know, when you have a good phrase like "I see dead people," that, you know, that kind of that kind of lives on.
That kid, I remember watching that movie and I felt like he was actually haunted. That's how good he was in the movie. My number five, Britney Spears. She was on the Mickey Mouse Club before she became a pop star. I've said this a million times, and I'll say it another million times. Britney Spears, I had a massive crush on because she was, you know, coming out with Baby One More Time right as I was in high school, so it was perfect. I had a huge crush on her.
Do you have a poster of her in your room?
I didn't have a poster. I never did the poster thing. All right. I never had any of those posters up in the room, but if I was a poster guy, it would have been filled with Britney posters. But I loved...
All right, maybe we're getting a little too much information. Number
four. Thank you, Adam. Go ahead, Kirk.
Number four, I went with Tatum O'Neal.
I've heard the name, don't know where she's from.
Okay, her dad was a famous actor, Ryan O'Neal, and they appeared together in a movie in the mid-70s called Paper Moon, and she became the youngest Oscar winner in history at the age of 10.
Wow.
Also, there's a sports connection. Do you know who her husband was?
Is her last name have anything to... Tatum O'Neal.
I'll give you a hint. His last name is McEnroe.
Oh, John McEnroe. She was married to him?
Yeah.
Are they still married? I don't think
so. No, they have been long divorced.
I was going to say, like, he doesn't seem like the easiest guy to get along with, but you never know. You never know. My number four is Haley Joel Osment, and he was awesome in The Sixth Sense. Like, I could still watch that movie and still get chills from some of the scenes from that movie. Like, I hated... the one where the mom's in the kit, or the ghost mom is in the kitchen going through things, and she's all angry, and he goes in there and he just looks terrified, and he was great in that movie. Even if it was like the only really 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 good movie that he did, it's good enough to carry him for the rest of his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's that good.
Number three,
I'm gonna go with Jerry Mathers. Do you have any idea who that is?
No. No. Adam, do you know who Jerry Mathers is? He has a guess.
Okay. My guess is the kid from Jerry Maguire?
No, that's...
The 8-pound head. Did you know a human head weighs 8 pounds?
I think his name's Lipnicki.
Yes, Jonathan Lip... No, wait. Lipnicki. I think you're right.
Jerry Mathers is from a famous television show in the early 60s called Leave It to Beaver.
Someone just put that in there.
And they even did a Leave It to Beaver 10, 20 years later, where they were adults. But as a child in Leave It to Beaver, it was just a classic show and all the things he used to get himself into. And it's a character that I think still resonates today.
So I wasn't even close.
Leave It to Beaver, I've seen a few things, you know, a few episodes, but nothing too crazy. My number three is actually something that every Friday night my family watched TGI, or thank God it's Friday, TGIF, and those four shows. I can't remember what order they went in. But my number three actor is going to be Jaleel White, because he was Urkel. I loved Family Matters. That was an amazing show. All of us used to gather around the TV. Did I do that? It's just amazing. It's just, I love Urkel. Please tell me you've watched Family Matters.
I saw it a couple times, and I definitely know who Urkel is. He definitely was a character that was memorable. And
yes.
I think, you know, those are sprinkled through the decades where they have that certain thing about him that is memorable. But
yeah. And then we kind of look back on this show and realize that he was harassing the daughter of the police officer, of Carl. And it was more creepy than we actually remember. It seems like when we go back and we watch shows sometimes, we're like, wow. Wow, that's probably not allowed these days.
Yeah, I would have thought the dad would have had him hauled off or something.
Yeah, he's a cop. He's a Chicago policeman. He should have figured it out.
Yeah.
All right. That's my number three.
Number two.
Number two, I went with who you mentioned earlier, Shirley Temple.
Mm.
From the 1930s, she was big, big, big. I think she got to a point where she was making $10,000 a week.
Whoa.
Which in the 1930s went a long way. I think a lot of that money ended up in her parents' pocket. So I don't know how much of it she ended up seeing. But,
yeah, that's sad.
But very memorable child actor and, you know, one of the first to burst on the scene going on 100 years ago.
You know, one of my things growing up, I hated ordering it because I felt like it wasn't manly, I guess. But when I was a kid, Shirley Temple, the drink is great. Sprite and grenadine, I think it is. It's just amazing. And then you get the little cherry on top. So.
There you go.
Only child actor with a drink named after her, I would think. There's no Haley Joel Osment out there.
That's true.
Okay. My number two is going to be someone who took a turn as an adult, made her way back, but Lindsay Lohan was like, she was maybe the most famous child actor for a good period of 6 to 7, 8 years there. She did the Parent Trap. She did so many different things. And of course I had a crush on her. I mean, come on. These are all the actresses when I was growing up, going to high school, all this other stuff. So Lindsay Lohan's my number two.
Before I hit the sounder for number one, do you guys think you'll have the same number one? Because in my mind there's only one right answer here.
I think I might have your number one. I don't think Kirk has your number one.
I think who you think is number one, I definitely considered. And I definitely
Well, if he's not your number one, then he's not even in your top five.
He was.
You made the late change with him.
I made the late change with him.
Oh, wow. He got pushed out for who?
So my number one is Ron Howard.
Okay. All right.
Opie on the Andy Griffith Show.
Yep.
Which launched his career.
Yep.
I think... So often we look at little kids on shows and they either act really cute or they act over the top or this or that. And he, to me, was such a good actor. You never thought of him acting. I think he could make you laugh. He could make you cry. And he always has resonated with me. On top of which, I think that's one of the greatest shows of all time.
Opie and Anthony? Or no, that's a radio show. Never mind. What was the show called?
It's called the Andy Griffith Show.
Is that the one with the whistles in the beginning?
Yes, it is. And if that's all you know about it, then you need to look deeper.
No, my dad, I've watched many episodes of this with my dad. He watched Andy Griffith's show a lot. Opie and Anthony's radio show. Was he also Eddie Munster?
No, he was not. But he was.
Why is that? Why do I think that?
Eddie Munster was a kid named Butch Patrick.
That's it. And he was also in Apollo 13.
So, Ron Howard?
No, Butch Patrick.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Ron Howard was Richie Cunningham on Happy Days, and then he got going in as a director, and has been tremendously successful as well.
Yeah, he really has. He really has. All right, my number one, I think, is what Adam was thinking as the number one. But if you were a kid that grew up in my era, Macaulay Culkin is the only answer for number one, because he did all the Home Alone movie. One of my favorite movies is Richie Rich. That was a great movie. Mm-hmm. I considered putting the kid from Blank Check on this list because I love that movie, but he only did that movie. Macaulay Culkin's the only answer for someone from my generation.
I think you're right.
Why did you took him off the list just because you knew I had him on the list?
I knew he'd get mentioned in yours, but also that was a really big movie. I don't think his career had the longevity that would qualify, and you know, the age that I come from, Ron Howard was pretty darn good, and he's kept it up for going on 60, 70 years.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree with that. Macaulay Culkin, unfortunately, you know, had I don't even really understand what happened in his life, but I know there was lots of things that happened after. And you were talking about it before, like we're talking about these people in a good way, but a lot of their lives are messed up after they do the childhood acting thing. It seems like that just messes you up.
Well, I think a lot of things happen when you do things that are normally things that adults do, but you do it at a very young age.
Yeah.
Before we leave this, I just wanted to mention a couple others.
Oh, he's got honorable mentions.
Honorable mention, Bart Simpson, who I think is, I thought he would have aged out by now, but he's really kept his youth.
Yes, he has kept his youth. Good one, Kirk.
Also, Gary Coleman, who we,
oh, yes.
we got to know first, I think, on Different Strokes, but also has a local connection with the movie The Kid from Left Field that was filmed here in the former Mission Valley Stadium.
Oh.
And another one my wife mentioned that I really liked, too, was Fred Savage from The Wonder Years. I thought that was a tremendous show.
Yeah, I thought about him. I also thought about Neil Patrick Harris for, what was it, Doogie Howser?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't make the list. I also had Shia LaBeouf on there because he was in Even Stevens on Disney. Also thought about Hilary Duff. She was in Lizzie McGuire. That's all I got. That's all I got for that. I'm running out of child actors that I cannot. Oh, I guess I could say the Olsen twins, too. They were in Full House.
Yeah.
The Olsen twins made a huge career out of them being the daughter of Danny Tanner.
You could do others like, I mean, you have a whole six kids on the Brady Bunch. And
yeah, those kids are.
Partridge Family.
The Partridge Family.
Then you go back to, I don't know, have you ever heard of Our Gang?
No.
Okay.
No,
We can move on.
Okay, let's go to a question from Carlos because we have a couple minutes, and I thought this was a fun question. It says, "Do you guys sometimes wish you had a real blue collar job?" So, blue collar job, I've already had one before, and I was an electrician, so I did that for like a year and a half. Jesse, if you're out there, you were my boss. You know exactly what, you know. I'm talking right to you, but I got out of college, couldn't find a job. My friend was an electrician, and so I finally was like, I need something. So I became an electrician, and I learned a lot about construction. I also learned that I don't have a great back. And so that's, you know, kind of one of the reasons why I got back into the sitting at a desk workforce. But have you ever had any blue-collar jobs?
I think it would depend on what exactly you count that. I think in my teenage years, I did a lot of things that were labor-intensive, like delivering newspapers. And
you had to ride a bike.
Yeah. Sub for a guy washing dishes at a pizza restaurant that lasted about 2 days.
Why did it only last two days? You were over it?
They are always wanting dishes washed, and they had to get them back out, and yet you couldn't start washing if the temperature fell below a certain standard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think their system was not adequate to keep the water temperature up.
So they were yelling at you and you couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, I couldn't deal with that.
Adam, have you ever had a blue-collar job before? I don't really know much about your past jobs.
I used to work at my first job ever when I worked was in high school. I worked at Old Navy.
Okay, wow. I did not expect you to say a clothing store.
Not blue jeans, blue collar
jeans.
Oh, I mean, it's not a blue collar job, but it is a tough job because you have to deal with people all the time. Mm-hmm. I never worked in a clothing store. I worked as a bagger at Vons when I got out of high school. And then I've worked as an electrician. I've worked as a door hanger person. I would drive through neighborhoods and look for houses with roofs that have like the wood shingles instead of the tile shingles, and I would go put a little hanger on there.
I was a vendor at the stadium and did a lot of walking around and selling for that. That was always enjoyable.
You were a vendor? Like, you were one of those, hey, get your hat here?
Well, we sold sodas or popcorn or peanuts.
Oh, hey, get your peanuts here. Do you throw them at them? That was the best part.
We did at times.
All right. Thank you, Kirk. Thank you for coming up with the countdown topic. I appreciate you coming in and spending some time with us. We will talk to you next week, I believe. Yes. But appreciate you coming in.
Thanks. Had a good time.
Awesome. So when we get back, Klug versus the fans for a qualification for a trip to Las Vegas, 833-288-0973.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.